Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We got Moist Mike. We got Stuart Kovacs. We're rocking and rolling all the way up until 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. We will preview the Masters coming up at the top of the hour with Alex Myers, one of my favorites from Golf Digest. Bart Winkler will stop by for a little Winkler Wednesday at 4:40 p.m. Eastern time today. And then Donovan McNabb is going to join us at 5:20 p.m. Eastern, 2:20 p.m. Pacific. I got to start with Kentucky basketball fans, because I understand you're passionate. I understand you have a high standard. And I don't think I'm talking to the majority of Big Blue Nation, because there's no way the majority of Big Blue Nation can be this stupid. And I'll just say it as crystal clear as I can. So yesterday, I went on a rant. And the rant was basically, if you don't want Scott Drew as the coach, or if you are just going to bitch and complain and say Scott Drew being the next coach of the Kentucky Wildcats is a bad hire, that you're a moron and you need your head examined. I think it's a pretty simple take. So I put that take out. You know, we pump out the video like we normally do. And, you know, it does a few hundred thousand views. And there's a lot of people that are saying, this guy gets it. This talk show host gets it. But then there is a loud, vocal minority that makes it appear like it's the majority. And I know it's not the majority, but the loud, vocal minority is very stupid here. Because I was trying to watch the Ranger-Islander game last night. Rangers go down 3-0 early. They end up getting it to 3-2, and they lose in the third period. But I was getting so distracted by the game, because it's not that I ever really allow what trolls or what people say on Twitter really get to me, but when people just don't get it and people just don't understand logic and people don't understand what the facts are, I will admit it could drive me insane. And I got so many tweets last night that, once again, I'll reiterate, I think it's the vocal minority. But they were coming from Wildcat fans that are just unrealistic. And they think Scott Drew would be this terrible hire. And every single person that I argued with ended up sounding like a jackass, all right? And they made no sense. And they don't realize the situation Scott Drew took over in Waco, Texas. If you are not familiar with the situation that Scott Drew took over in Waco, Texas, let me remind you. A player on the Baylor men's basketball team was murdered by another player. Before Scott Drew got there, not only was the program in peril, the idea of them winning a national championship in basketball wasn't even talked about. If you go back to the early 2000s when Scott Drew took the job, and if someone said Scott Drew was going to win a national championship, they would lock you up. They would examine your cabeza, and they would say, you can't be this stupid. You can't be this naive. And I had so many Kentucky Wildcat fans that were pointing out, well, look how many times Scott Drew didn't get out of the first weekend of the tournament. You understand comparing Kentucky to Baylor, is it apples to apples? All right? It's not. When you look at what he's done and how they've turned into a perennial 20-plus win program and they won a national championship, if you can't understand that this guy is a heck of a coach and this guy should be near the top of your list of desirable candidates, I just don't know how we could continue this conversation. I really don't. Why can't Scott Drew succeed at Kentucky? Why can't Scott Drew win at Kentucky? He took over a program that was in a terrible, disastrous, and an unprecedented spot. There's the ground, and then there's underneath the ground, right? He was well below with the program that he was taking over. And not only did he rise to the earth, he was flying in the sky, winning a national championship. So taking over a program in Waco, Texas, that was a disaster, and winning them a national championship, you go to a five-star resort in Kentucky with all the resources, and you don't think Scott Drew, because his personality may be a little vanilla, you don't think he could succeed in Lexington? It's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. And I understand, because I can already hear the Kentucky fans saying, well, there's other choices that we want. Who do you want? You want Jay Wright? He already said no. You want Danny Hurley? You should want Danny Hurley. I also want to go out on a date with Beyonce. You could offer Danny Hurley a contract. You should. You should make him say no. But he's just going to go back to UConn and run up his price at UConn. And let me let you in on a little secret. Danny Hurley doesn't need Kentucky. He is the face of the sport right now. I'm cognizant of how powerful the brand is of Kentucky basketball, but UConn's been the best program in college basketball for the last 30 years. Don't believe me? Look at the championships. They've been to 7 Final Fours, and they won 6 championships. So when Kentucky fans are saying, man, you can't hire Scott Drew, who else do you want? Who is the coach that you're going to get excited about? Who's the guy? You want to tell me it's Billy Donovan? Okay. But it's not as if Billy Donovan is that much better of a choice than Scott Drew. You could even argue it. I know Billy Donovan won back-to-back championships at Florida. He's a phenomenal coach. Once again, Scott Drew won a national championship in Waco, Texas, as the head coach of the Baylor Bears. A program that he was taking over where you had a player get murdered by another player. No one ever thought Final Four. No one ever thought National Championship. No one ever thought Elite Eights. They were like, just save the program. And not only did he save the program, he has flourished. So it's crazy to me how there are some in the minority, and I gotta think it's the minority, but they're so loud in saying, oh no, you can't hire Scott Drew. And I love Nate Oates. I was a big fan of Nate Oates when he was at Buffalo. I had him on this network when most people didn't know who he was. Nate Oates already said no, or Kentucky didn't want him. But still, Nate Oates, I get it. He just got to the Final Four. He's done a wonderful job at Alabama. Still hasn't done as good of a job, though, as what Scott Drew has done. So that's my problem with the vocal, loud minority in this Kentucky search. Let's say they hire Scott Drew. You're bitching and complaining about it. Who else do you want? Who else? Who else do you want? Jay Wright already said no. Danny Hurley laughed at the podium when he was asked about it. Who's the guy that you want that's going to have more of an accomplished resume than Scott freaking Drew? It's just, it's crazy to me. And I said this when we got on the air earlier in the week. One of three realistic names need to be hired. Nate Oates, Billy Donovan, or Scott Drew. One of those three. Oates is already out. So now it's either Billy Donovan or Scott Drew. And with both of those choices, you can't go wrong. I know sometimes we like to complain just to complain in this society. Sometimes it's fun to complain. Trust me, I love to complain. But you can't seriously be irate if this program hires Scott Drew. He is more than deserving of taking over the reins in Lexington. Let's hear from Billy Donovan, though, because before his team's game last night, he was asked about the Kentucky opening. This is the two-time national championship winning coach, Billy Donovan, getting asked about a school he knows well in Kentucky and their opening right now.
I spent, you know, 5 years, my first 5 years in coaching, you know, when Coach Pitino gave me a job. Two kids were born there. I think, like at all my stops, you know, you have very, very fond memories. I have not been contacted by any. I haven't spoken to anybody. My total commitment and focus is here to this team and to this group. So, you know, again, a lot of this stuff, I think, sometimes turns out to be speculation. But I have not had any contact with anybody, and my commitment's here.
He didn't say no, though. He didn't say that he would definitely be here for the foreseeable future. I listened to the entirety of the 4 or 5 minutes that were spent talking about Kentucky. And he talked about, even when he was in college at Kentucky, on the staff, how many NBA people he was around and all that stuff. I was listening to that, and it seems like Billy Donovan was like, hey, call me. Call me. And if the AD prefers Scott Drew over Billy Donovan, I got no problem with that. Now, you should do your due diligence. That's the one thing I'll agree on with the vocal minority. And we don't know what's true. We don't know what's false. I would be shocked if they at least haven't picked up the phone call and placed a call to Jay Wright. I'll be shocked if they don't place a phone call to Danny Hurley. But I don't think those guys are realistic options. So if your gripe is, I'm just going to complain about Scott Drew because they didn't call Billy Donovan, fine. But it doesn't mean you would have to trash this hire of it potentially being Scott Drew. And I really don't think there's some in the Kentucky basketball fan base that are complaining about the potential hire of Scott Drew that understand how great of a job he has done in Baylor. And I know people are going to say, well, we just ran out Coach Cal because he couldn't get out of the first weekend. He lost to St. Peter's. He lost to Oakland. He missed the tournament. Then he lost in the round of 32. Yeah, you made your bed. Now you got to lie in it. So just because Scott Drew recently hasn't got out of the first weekend, it doesn't mean that he's some bum. It doesn't mean that he's some horrible coach. And also, the standard and expectation in Waco, Texas, is totally different than the standard and expectation in Kentucky. But guess what happens? When you get a bigger job, when you get a better job, you have to meet those expectations. And if Scott Drew can deliver a natty to the Baylor Bears and accomplish one of the greatest rebuilding jobs in the history of sports, can someone give me a logical explanation on why he can't win a championship at Kentucky? Why? Because last night, I sat there with all the idiots, and I said, you know what? I'll dedicate an hour of my time to this nonsense. I'll be a moron and open up this conversation, and maybe someone could enlighten me on why this would be such a horrible hire. And through the entirety of it, I heard blah, 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 blah. And I don't know a damn thing about Scott Drew. And I don't know a damn thing about the program that he took over with the Baylor Bears. The internet is free. Sign on to your computer. All right? Everyone has internet. Now, I know people can say you got to pay for the internet. I get that. But you all have internet. Everyone listening right now has the internet. Go Google the rebuilding job. Go Google what Scott Drew was taking over in Baylor and what he's done and the history of that program. And all I'll say is this. Why can't Scott Drew win in Kentucky? Why can't he? Someone, I encourage debate. I encourage the other side of this argument. I would love to get on the air from now until the end of the show at 6 p.m. Eastern and say, hey, I was wrong. You know what? I see what you're talking about. Scott Drew would be a horrible choice. But I don't think there's anything out there that you could actually discuss that has any merit to make me say, yeah, man, Kentucky, woof. That would be a horrible hire of Scott Drew. But I encourage a conversation. I encourage you to attempt to do it. And you have my phone line, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I have no reason, none, no reason whatsoever to despise the Kentucky program. I've been a huge John Calipari fan. I picked this team to go to the championship game for crying out loud this year. All right? So it's not me doing this for clicks, as idiots say. It's not because I'm a hater of Big Blue Nation and the Kentucky Wildcats. If you think that's the case, one, you think too highly of your program, and number two, you're giving me too much credit. It's not like I sit around and go, hey, Samter, hey, Stu, let's get under the skin of Kentucky fans, and let's just try to generate clicks. No offense, we do pretty damn well on social media. Right? Right? It's not like we need to do things out of desperation to get clicks. Never have, never will. I just give you my genuine opinion. And my genuine opinion is that if you don't think Scott Drew would be a good hire for Kentucky, then I think you just either don't get it, or I'll be polite about this, you're a bleeping moron. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Will you be rooting for John Calipari at Arkansas? And also, should Billy Donovan and should Scott Drew take the job if they're offered it? We'll discuss all those topics next when we continue rocking and rolling on a Wednesday. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. All right, it is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So, Samter, I'm looking at the rundown, and I'm just curious because of the way that you worded something, and you asked a very simple question. I kind of think this goes totally one way, but I'm curious if you think a different way. You asked me on this rundown, will John Calipari be booed or cheered in his return to Lexington, whenever that is, with Arkansas playing the SEC, Lexington next year, whenever they make their way to Kentucky. We'll see how all the scheduling works with all the changes amongst college sports with new teams entering the SEC. But I think he would get a standing ovation and then some. Yeah, I know that he's leaving the program and going to another school in the SEC, but this is a coach that won a national championship, was the rock star of the state for 10 years, and yes, at the end, it got a little ugly, and people thought his time was up, but even the people that thought his time was up, he did you the greatest favor if you didn't want him back. He didn't make the university say, okay, fire me and pay me the $33, $34 million in the buyout. He left. And now he's walking, yes, in conference to Arkansas, but you don't have to pay him a dime to not coach the team. So Cal is a legend in the game of basketball. He's a legend at Kentucky. And there is no doubt about it that he will get a standing ovation. Now, when the ball gets thrown up in the air, you want Arkansas to lose the game by 100 points, right? And you will not be rooting for John Calipari. But there is no doubt in my mind, because Cal is likable. Cal is easy to root for. Cal is a legend in that program. There is no doubt standing ovation. Do you think otherwise? Because you asked the question, and since you asked the question and I feel so one way about it, I just kind of sense that maybe you think it's more split in the middle than what I'm making it out to be.
I mean, I'll just say I don't think that it's a no-doubter. I think he probably gets more cheers than boos, but he's certainly going to get boos sprinkled in. He left unceremoniously. He left kind of in
a... He did them a favor.
He did them a favor by not having a getting fired buyout, but at least if he gets fired, he quote-unquote is a victim. Him leaving the school and then leaving for an in-conference opponent like Arkansas... And Arkansas and Kentucky historically have a very heated rivalry also. It'd be the equivalent of like Nick Saban leaving Alabama and going to coach at Auburn or something. It's maybe not that much of an intense rivalry.
No
but
chance.
Arkansas-Kentucky have an intense historical basketball rivalry. So there's something there.
Here's the thing.
He gets more cheers than boos? Sure. But I'm sure there's a lot of people. It's what have you done for me lately? He hasn't won a title there in a long time. He left unceremoniously, went to a rival in the conference. I think there's going to be a lot of boos.
Have you heard anyone in the last 48 hours or so say, I can't believe John Calipari went to Arkansas. Screw him. He's a traitor. No, I haven't heard anyone call him a traitor. I haven't heard anyone really be upset about it when most of the people going back 3 weeks ago wanted him out and thought that the time was up for John Calipari in Lexington. But I don't think that this was nasty. I don't think this was filled with animosity. Like, for example, a year ago, I was livid when Ed Cooley elected to leave Providence and then go to Georgetown. I thought it was a stupid decision by Ed Cooley, and I thought he handled it as poorly as he could, and I watched every Providence-Georgetown game this year, and I was rooting for Ed Cooley to just get embarrassed. And I fell in love with Kim English, the new head coach of Providence. But this is a totally different feel. Like, what Cooley did felt scummy in the way that he left. For John Calipari leaving, he understood, I'm a legend here, I'm great here, I've won here, I've brought an unprecedented amount of NBA talent here, even for a program like Kentucky, year in and year out, but I know what the feeling is right now. People think I need to significantly either adapt my approach or I need to get on up and leave. And he elected, because of maybe a icy relationship with the AD, he elected to eventually get offered the right job and walk away. But I don't think there's a lot of animosity. And I would be very surprised when he gets introduced, you know, in Rupp Arena. And here he is coaching the Arkansas Razorbacks. John, welcome back, John Calipari. Maybe 5% boo. Maybe 10 at most. But I think most people with a brain are going to be getting out of their seat, and they are going to be giving him a standing ovation. And then the ball gets thrown up in the air, and he's the opponent. He's the enemy. The only way he's going to significantly get booed is when he has his introductory press conference, if he takes shots at Kentucky. But there's no way he's going to take shots at Kentucky if you just heard his wife speak in the last 24 hours, him speak in the last 24 hours. He understands how special this job was and how much of an honor it was to be the coach. So I would be seriously flabbergasted. I don't usually get to use that word, but I like to use it today. I would be flabbergasted if John Calipari is getting booed in Lexington the first time he makes a return. Now, when you get to the future, Billy Donovan and Scott Drew, I've made it pretty damn clear, if you can't tell in the first 25, 28 minutes of this show, that if you object to the Scott Drew hire, I would encourage your opinion, and I would love to hear your stupid answer on why you think Scott Drew isn't qualified or wouldn't be the right fit for the Wildcats, and then who else you would like. And if you say, oh, they got to hire Danny Hurley, that's not going to happen. Or if you say, oh, they got to hire Jay Wright, I'm with you. I want Jay Wright back in college basketball, but that's not going to happen. Nate Oates isn't going to Kentucky. So that leaves you with either Billy Donovan or Scott Drew needing to be the head coach. For Scott Drew, you are basically in an immortal status at Baylor. There is nothing you could do where anyone would look at you differently. And quite frankly, I don't like to undermine the pressure that people are on in sports, especially when you're dealing with some of these crazy fan bases. But Scott Drew doesn't have any pressure on him at Baylor. If Scott Drew wants his last coaching job to be at Baylor, he will be the coach there since he won a championship and saved that program with the terrible standards that he took it over with. He will be the coach there until he no longer wants to be the coach there. But this is a job, and Scott Drew the last 2-3 years, after winning a national championship, could have had a lot of jobs, and he has turned them down. But if Scott Drew doesn't leave for Kentucky, I have a tough time seeing him ever leaving Baylor. So if you were Scott Drew, would you leave? And since he's been there for 20 years, and since he won a championship, and it's probably not likely that he wins another championship there again, I personally would want to take on the beast that is Kentucky. And it's going to come with more fanfare. You are going to be under a lot more pressure, but you're taking over one of the, as they say, the bluest of blue bloods, right? And I just, with how much he's a student of a game, how he is a son of a coach, I just have a tough time seeing Scott Drew not want to go, and especially with the relationship he has with the AD, not go to Kentucky if, in fact, the job is offered. So I think Scott Drew should go. Billy Donovan, I think it's a tougher conversation because I do believe now coaching in the NBA is easier than coaching in college basketball. But Billy Donovan's not winning a championship with the Chicago Bulls. So since he already won 2 championships going back to his time in college, I'm not saying he isn't driven to win another championship, but if he wants the easier quality of life and he's been removed from college for so many years, like almost a decade now, all right, you could do that. But you go to Kentucky, you take over a school where you were an assistant coach of, and you win a championship or two, I think from a legacy standpoint, it just only enhances and changes the way that we look at Billy Donovan. Like right now, you look at Billy Donovan, you say, great coach, won back-to-back championships at Florida. Those teams were dominant. Phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal. You go and you win 2 championships at Kentucky, and you have 2 at Kentucky, and then you have 2 at Florida. Like, you get put into a different level. Like, you're already in the greats. Then you get put in just an immortal type of level in the sport of college basketball. And, like, you ask me in the 90s, like, oh, would you rather be the coach of the Bulls or would you rather be the coach of the Wildcats? Yeah, as great as Kentucky is, I'd probably rather coach Michael Jordan, right? I'd rather be the coach of the Bulls. But the Bulls don't have the same feel as they used to for a very long time. And this is a creme de la creme job in Kentucky. So I don't think Billy Donovan is going to get offered the job. It seems like he was begging for the job last night, and he made it clear his focus for now was on the Chicago Bulls. But I just feel as if Kentucky is going to hire Scott Drew, and when their AD was going through their protocol, right, Oates already's taken himself out. I just saw Dan Hurley for like the 4th time this week. He was just on Colin Coward. And he said, no, his focus is on three-peating at UConn and, right, continuing the dynasty of UConn. So how many more times does Dan Hurley have to laugh or tell Kentucky it's not happening? You still got to hear him say no to the AD. But once Jay Wright is officially out and once Dan Hurley is officially out and you know Oates is already out, it's a 2-man race. And it's Scott Drew and Billy Donovan. And I can't sit here and say one definitely needs to be hired over the other. Like, if they offer the job to Scott Drew, it's the right move. If they offer the job to Billy Donovan, it's the right move. But could you imagine if they offer the job to Scott Drew and Scott Drew's like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good in Baylor. And they offer the job to Billy Donovan. He's like, yeah, I like kind of being irrelevant as the head coach of the Chicago Bulls. then where do they go from there? And we had Matt Jones on yesterday from Kentucky Sports Radio, and he was like, maybe it's a Sean Miller. Maybe it's a Shaka Smart. Think about it. Kentucky fans, some of you, are freaking out over the possibility of hiring Scott Drew as a national championship winning coach. Imagine if it's one of those other guys. Imagine if it's Shaka. Imagine if it is Sean Miller. Like, if you're already losing your mind over Scott Drew, and this is nothing against Sean Miller nor Shaka Smart, if that's the reaction for Scott Drew, then what's the reaction for those guys? So this is Kentucky basketball. You need to now get either Scott Drew or Billy Donovan. And once again, ultimately, I do think it will be Scott Drew. Do you think Scott Drew should take the job at Kentucky? Do you think Billy Donovan, if he's offered the job, should take it as well? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Ackman, let me just ask you this because I think you have a good pulse on the situation. So Samter and I got into a little conversation, and I thought I was kind of incredulous at just this question that Samter asked me. Will John Calipari be booed or cheered in his return to Lexington? And I was like, I'm surprised by this question because I think it will be 90% bare minimum the first time back that will be cheering. And Samter thinks there's going to be some more boos than what I'm saying. What do you make of this whole situation? Because I do look at you kind of as a neutral person.
I go with you because I think if he leaves on his own in the height of his tenure there, he gets booed.
Yes.
But they kind of wanted him out.
And he saved them a lot of money leaving them.
Exactly. So I think the divorce was best for everybody involved. And I think at the end that everybody will look at his return happily instead of negatively.
Yeah, I said this yesterday. Rodgers and Calipari are very similar. Where Aaron Rodgers, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. John Calipari, in this era, one of the all-time great coaches. I know that Calipari had success at UMass. You know, I know he had success at Memphis, and Rodgers was just coming into the league. But both, their third year in, Rodgers as a starter. And then for Calipari's third year as a coach at Kentucky, they won a title so early in their tenure, and they still had a lot of great moments, right?
Yeah.
Calipari still went to a few more Final Fours. Rodgers went to a bunch more NFC Championship games. Rodgers never got to another Super Bowl. Calipari got to another National Championship game and lost. But it's because since you won so much early and you won that championship early, yes, we could all acknowledge when we get past the emotions 5 years from now or 10 years from now, yeah, great coach, great quarterback, and no one's saying that those guys' tenure sucked now, but it's, I felt like you would have won another championship with how early you won in your tenure.
You would think that, and look, he came close. They had that great Kentucky team with the Harrisons and Karl-Anthony Towns that lost to Wisconsin in the Final Four. I just think that I don't know where it went wrong because he still had the talent.
Yeah.
And maybe his... I don't want to say his message might have been different or the way his message was perceived. I'm not quite sure where it went off the rails. Maybe he just got a little too tight. I don't know because, you know, again, they had success. Maybe it just wasn't working with the kind of...
You know what I think it was? In this COVID era where everyone got an extra year of eligibility...
That definitely hurt.
It's because... You have so many teams that had guys that were there for 3-4 years, or the transfer portal, and NIL kind of even things up. And yeah, Kentucky always had a ton of talent, but it's still freshmen in the tournament. Yeah. And sometimes you're able to carry it to a championship. We've seen that, Cal. We saw Okafor at Duke win a championship, right?
Anthony Davis.
We've seen guys have a lot of success, but you have some freshman moments. And hey, if they would have won that game against Oakland, maybe they end up going to the championship game.
I thought it was either the first round and out or make a deep run, one or the other, if they could just get past that hump. But still,
and you factor him with the St. Peter's loss, missing the tourney, losing the round 32 at a place like that, that's not the standard.
No, but look, I mean, when he went to the Final Four and they had that unbeaten regular season with all those guys, that was a very young team too. I mean, you know, remember Devin Booker was coming off the bench. So, and they had guys who were so good who, you know, again, just couldn't even see playing time. But I think part of it goes into the fact that it's age against youth at that point. But you know, did it change that much from when he was winning with the freshmen and the one and dones? I don't know. You know, so again, somewhere it went off the rails.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. What's one sporting event that you never attended that you would love to go to? We'll give our answer on that next update time. First, here is the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio, at Zach Gelb, using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Alex Myers from Golf Digest is going to join us coming up in about 12 minutes from now. Bart Winkler on a Winkler Wednesday will stop by at 4:40 p.m. Eastern. And then number five will always love you. Donovan McNabb will join us today at 5:20 p.m. Eastern, 2:20 p.m. Pacific. So last week, it was the Tuesday before we departed for Arizona for the Final Four. I get a phone call from a buddy of mine, longtime friend. And he goes, he's a teacher, and he got asked to go on a school trip. And it was to D.C., and it was to New York, and I guess the largest city that I could mention here to kind of describe where he lives, he's like 2 hours from Seattle, let's just say. So he's flying across country. He goes, I got about 2 hours where I'm free Tuesday evening. So I called my other buddy that knows him. We all go meet up in Times Square, which is not my favorite destination, but the kids at the school that he was with were at a play, and he could dip out for 2 hours and other chaperones would watch, and we got dinner. So we got dinner in Times Square at Carmine's. It's actually a very good meal, if I will say. And we're sitting there for about an hour, and we're catching up, we're having a good time, and my buddy drops on us out of nowhere, oh yeah, by the way, in a few weeks, I'm going to Augusta National for the Masters. And I'm like, way to bury the lead. You wait until like the final 30, 40 minutes of this meal to tell us after being with you for an hour that you're going to Augusta National, and he won the lottery. So he's going on Friday. He's flying in Thursday, and then he's going to the Friday of the tournament. Now, I've never heard of anyone actually winning or know anyone that have won the lottery to go to the Masters, and it's like the toughest ticket to get. So it was actually good that he waited so long in the meal to tell us, because my friend and I, we both like golf. We were like, the entire rest of the meal was just saying, I can't believe you're going to the Masters. So it was good to catch up on everything in life and then get to the Masters conversation. So I would love to go to the Masters one day. I do enjoy going to golf events. I was at the PGA Championship a few years ago, the U.S. Open. When the Ryder Cup comes here to New York, I'll definitely go. I went to Aronimink for the BMW Championship a few years back in Pennsylvania. That was a fun sports night. It was the night the Eagles opened up their season after winning the Super Bowl. So during the day, I went to Aronimink for the BMW Championship and then ended up going that night to the Eagles game. So that was pretty cool. But it got me thinking, like, take the Masters out of it, because that's a tradition unlike any other. Hello, friends. Jim Nantz here. What's one sporting event that you have not gone to that you would love to go to? And for me, it's the Rose Bowl. Like, I'm an enormous college football fan. And you have the pageantry at the Rose Bowl, the tradition, the history. And you always see the pictures of it, and it's almost like, oh, that can't be real. That's not real life. I have never been to the Rose Bowl location, and I would obviously want to go when it's the granddaddy of them all, and it is the Rose Bowl. But that's the sporting event right now that was on the tip of my tongue, the first one that I wanted to say when we asked this question. One sporting event that you haven't gone to, but you'd love to. For me, it's the Rose Bowl. Santer? Now, Santer, since he's been a national radio producer for a while, he has been to Final Fours. He has been to Super Bowls. I'm sure you have been to World Series. Like, I've been to a lot of sporting events. I've been to a lot of big sporting events. But, you know, you have a few more years on me, and you've been in this business for a very long time. This is my nice way of saying Samter's a little bit older than the rest of us. But what's the one sporting event you haven't gone to that you are just dying to go to?
So I was between a couple of them. Like, I've never been to an SEC football game, so I'd like to go see maybe like an Iron Bowl, like something really crazy.
Well, that'd be cool.
or even like the game or Notre Dame, USC, something where, like, you know, you're at like a historic college football stadium with a rabid, insane fan base of 110,000 people going nuts.
Like, for example, this past year I was at the game Michigan-Ohio State. It's one of the craziest atmospheres I've ever been to.
Yeah, and I mean, like, even don't tell Hickey I said this, but even like go to Happy Valley and see like Penn State during the whiteout, like 110,000 people at Penn State, like that would be awesome. So I wouldn't mind something like that, but that's not my number one. I was decided between two. I think I know which way Stu is going to go, so I'm going to go with this other one. I'm going to say a Summer Olympics. I'd love
Interesting.
I would love to see, like, whether it's the 100-meter or the 400-meter. So, yeah, or not even the swimming. I don't know if I care about the swimming. I want to see the track and field. Mm-hmm. Right? I want to see, like, the fastest people in the world. I want to see the 100-meter, the Usain Bolts of the world, the 200-meters, the 400-meters, the Michael Johnson runs. Like, all of those amazing that they start, and then they're over in a flash. I would love to see something like that, just be in one of those giant stadiums, even be on the infield grass and get to watch all that.
This may not be very patriotic of me, and I do love America. I'll preface before I say what I'm about to say, I've never had a desire to go to the Olympics. I am shocked. It's a cool answer, but I'm shocked that that was the answer that you did give.
Well, I mean, part of the reality also, and I'll let Stu go real quick, but I've been to Super Bowls, I've been to Final Fours, like you said, I've been to Stanley Cup Finals, I've been to five World Series years. I've gone to a lot of very cool events. I've just never been to a Summer Olympics, and I think I know where Stu's going. Stu's likely answer, if he doesn't say what I think he's going to say, I'll change my answer.
It's going to be some soccer stuff.
That is correct. It is going to be the World Cup, which I will go to in 2026. I've already started to save up. It's going to be expensive.
How much do those tickets go for?
Oh, who knows? It's going to be in 2026. The final's probably going to be a few thousand just to get in, I would assume. So we'll see.
Yeah. Center just taking phone calls?
Yeah.
Jeez. There was no consideration there. Hey, Dave, how you doing? What's up, Dave? Can you have a, like, can you use an indoor voice? You have a young child now. You don't ever go, use your indoor voice, Alex.
Was I that loud?
Voice. Yeah, you were screaming. I couldn't even hear what Stu was saying.
Wow. Man, that's good. It's good to know that my pipes don't have that effect. That, like, I was just talking at a normal human volume.
Is the vuvuzela still a big thing at the World Cup?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what it is when it's here, but it probably will be.
It was a big thing in Arizona outside our hotel.
Just takes my line. I was about to say, I felt like when we were in Arizona at 5 in the morning, I just started hearing, and I'm like, what the
heck
is that?
Really, in Arizona?
Yes, there was this is not going to be nice for me. There's some idiots that were protesting. I don't even care what they were protesting, but they woke me up.
They could be protesting something that I believe in my heart to be the most true thing.
5 in the morning!
They could be protesting against, like, violence against children or something. And I would be like, screw you guys, I hate you. Don't wake me up at 4 o'clock in the morning. It could be anything. It could be the most...
The views of Michael Santa don't reflect the views of the Zach Galp Show.
I'm just saying, when you wake me up at 4 o'clock in the morning with vuvuzelas, when I'm on vacation, you know what? Whatever you're protesting, I'm against you.
You were working! Maybe they need to get you up out of bed. All righty, we're coming on back. We're previewing the Masters. Alex Meyer is going to join us from Golf Digest. Once again, I am Zach Gelb. The other voice you heard was Michael Samter. Just want to make that abundantly clear. We'll be back. Hopefully, we'll be back in 5 minutes.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.